Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 15. The last time we were in Isaiah, I know we've had a couple of guest preachers recently. And it's good to be back in the pulpit on a Sunday night, honestly. Isaiah 29 verse 15, where we finished last time. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? And so the title of the message is, who seeth us? Let's pray. Lord, give us your wisdom, your power, your presence. Use your word in our lives. We give you this service. We want you to be glorified, and we want our hearts to be changed by you through your word. We love you and commit this service to you. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. So this has been a tendency of man for a little bit of time, basically since the Garden of Eden. This tendency to try to hide things from God. Did you notice in verse 15? Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. Now man, our flesh, loves the dark, right? The Bible tells us that in John chapter 3. Let's turn over there. John chapter 3 and verse 19. We have that tendency, our flesh does, the old man, to lean toward the darkness. And that's why the majority of crimes are committed at night. It's why pubs have the windows blacked out. Men love darkness. And notice John 3:19. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved. There's that word loved. Loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So the Bible says that the wicked man, the unsaved man, the old man, loves darkness and hates light. And so here in this passage in Isaiah, God is rebuking Israel, but also rebuking all of his children who fall into this trap of thinking that you can hide anything from God. You can't. And like I say, it's been around a little while, hasn't it? What's the first thing Adam and Eve did when they sinned? The Bible says they hid from God, or they tried to hide from God. And God came down to the garden and said, where art thou? Up to that point, they'd met and they had spent time together in the garden after they sinned. Where art thou? What happened to Adam and Eve? They're hiding. And of course, it didn't stop there. What did Jonah do? When God said, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach, he said, I know what I'll do. I'll go hop on a ship and hide in that ship. Didn't work. He ended up in the whale's belly. And what about David? David said, oh, yeah, I'm the king and I'm a man after God's own heart, but that woman's very beautiful, so I'm going to go ahead and just steal her away from her husband while he's off at war. I'm going to work things out so her husband gets killed in the war, essentially murdering him, and I'm going to take her to be my own wife, and nobody will know. Except God, who sent Nathan to say, thou art the man. And so we have this leaning, this tendency to love darkness, to hate light, and to try to hide things from God. How foolish can we be? Because we can't hide anything from God. And that's what it says here, verse 15. Who seeth us? Who knoweth us? Well, that's the attitude of the world, isn't it? Who cares? We can do whatever we want. Who cares? Who sees us? Who knows what we're doing? And of course, it falls in with verse 16, which is the basic belief of the world, that there is no creator. There is no one to be accountable to. Right? That's what it said here. Who shall the thing work of say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing formed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? Well, that's what evolution teaches. That's what the world's basically teaching, that there is no God. If there's no God, then we're not accountable to God. But as we know, there is a God. And we are accountable to God, and we can't hide anything from God. Go to Psalm 64. We're going to look at a few verses together about this great truth. But I want us to just be reminded tonight, it's simple truth, we all know it, but do we live it? Because sometimes, even as Christians, and maybe even Christians have been saved a while, if we're not careful, we'll try to set aside these little closets or these little boxes in our heart, and God can have all of us accept that. Except that one little thing. And then that one little thing, we say to God, who seeth us? God knows about that. So why are we wasting our time? Psalm 64:5 says, they encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of lying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? So there it is again. Who's going to know? Who's going to care? Who's going to see? God. And that, of course, takes us to Psalm 139. So let's turn there. Very well-known passage to all of us. This is the truth. And the truth is, you cannot hide anything from God. So don't try. It doesn't work. And don't force God to do a Nathan in your life. To send the Holy Spirit, to send someone to say, thou art the man. You've been trying to hide this from God. You've been trying to keep this from God. God knows about it. You haven't repented of it. The Holy Spirit keeps trying to talk to you about it, and you won't listen. So notice Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. I know it's a long passage, but it's what's it telling us? God's everywhere. God knows everything. God sees everything. So don't allow the devil to trick us into this attitude of, who seeth us? Who knows? I'm going to keep this little thing from God. No, we're not. We're just fooling ourselves, and we're asking for God to deal with it. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 12. We'll just look at a couple more scriptures about this great truth. Very important truth. Not only for the world, but for Christians, and that is God sees everything. God knows everything. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment. Now look at this next phrase. With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You know, when you read verses like that, it should make us so thankful for our salvation. The judgment seat of Christ will be judged for our works, not for our sins. Imagine at the great white throne judgment, where the Bible says, and the books will be opened, and the dead are judged out of those things that are written in the books. Imagine every secret thing, every secret thought, every secret sin, every secret word will be revealed. Imagine. It's hard to even put our heads around that, but that's what's going to happen. And man will fall down and know that he deserves to go to hell when all that is revealed. You cannot hide from God. Go to Jeremiah chapter 23, please, verse 24. Another verse along these lines. God reminding us that He is omnipresent. One of those fancy theological words that means God is everywhere. Jeremiah 23:24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? God's everywhere. He's even in that little box, that little closet in our hearts that we try to keep secret from him. He's there. The Holy Spirit is there, waiting for us to deal with it. Now go to Matthew 12. Jesus Christ continued this theme when he preached. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. This theme that you cannot keep any secrets from God. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And then one more verse on this, 1 Corinthians 4, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Where again, now Paul here is writing to Christians. Look what he has to say, 1 Corinthians 4, 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. You see, for us as believers in Jesus Christ, there should be no hidden things of darkness. There should be no darkness at all. Because we're light, and we're children of light. And the Bible says, walk as children of light. And we have the God of light indwelling us in the person of the Holy Ghost, shining the light of God's Word in our hearts. And every time we open the Word, the Bible teaches the Word is like a torch that shines there and points out those little corners that need swept up a little bit. And then that's when we always have a choice. Are we going to deal with it? Are we going to allow the Holy Spirit to clean house a little bit? Or are we going to try to say, who seeth us? Are we going to try to keep secrets from God? And you know, we've all been there, we've all tried it, and we've all learned that it doesn't work, but it's still a tendency of our old man. And so it goes on to say, back in our passage in Isaiah 29, who seeth us? Who knoweth us? Verse 16, surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? Now, Paul actually quotes this verse in Romans. So let's turn over there. Romans chapter 9 and verse 20. And it is the basic teaching of the world. Notice, nay, but old man, who art thou that repliest against God? Romans 9:20. Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? When the potter gathers up that lump of clay, that's that useless little blob, and puts it up on the potter's wheel, and makes a piece of pottery out of it, does the piece of pottery have a place to say, well, wait a minute, I didn't want to be this shape, I wanted to be a different shape. I didn't want to be this tall or this short. No, that's silly. And yet, how many times do people say, why hast thou made me thus? Why did you make me the way I am, Lord? And the world basically says, as it says there in verse 16, he made me not. And of course, that leads them down that path of non-accountability. If there's no God, then there's no accountability to God. Doesn't the Bible say, the fool has said in his heart there is no God? In Psalm 14, verse 1. And looking while you're at Romans in chapter 1, in verse 28. And here really is the crux of the problem from the world's point of view. Romans 1:28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. I like how God worded that. It means that it was there initially. It says that the world doesn't want to retain it. Because if you read Romans chapter 1 and 2, what you're going to find is God put within man a basic understanding that we do have a creator and a basic conscience of right and wrong. That's why when you find tribes that have never been introduced to God, they all have a system of laws, they have a system of right, they have a system of wrong. They're typically worshiping something. Now, they haven't been led properly, but something in their hearts told them, we're supposed to be worshiping something. We're supposed to be appeasing something. And they're supposed to be right, and they're supposed to be wrong, and there's supposed to be punishment for wrong. Where did they get all that? From right in here. And it's interesting how God uses the word retain, and what he's saying there is it was initially there, but the world chooses to not retain it. The world chooses to ignore it and push it away. Yes, I was born with a basic understanding that I have a Creator. I was born with an understanding that there is a God and I have a conscience, but I'm going to, as the Bible says, sear it with a hot iron. I'm going to not retain that knowledge. And what happens at the end of verse 28? God gave them over to a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind. Romans 1:28. So if we choose not to retain God in our knowledge, what happens is a reprobate mind. But if we choose as Christians to say, I'm going to try to hide things from God. I'm going to say, who seeth us? I'm going to try to have secret things from God. What happens? We get corrupted. We aren't where we should be spiritually. Was David where he should have been spiritually while he was trying to keep this big secret? No. He wasn't right with God. Now, everybody around didn't know. It's just David, it's our king, no difference. But David wasn't the same guy. And you know that because you read Psalm 51. What's he say? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You mean you lost the joy? Yes, he lost the joy of his salvation. He said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Read those penitential psalms, especially Psalm 51, and see where David was spiritually because of his sin. Because he tried to keep a secret from God. And of course, it doesn't work. And if we continue on not listening to the Holy Spirit, who's going to continue to hammer at it, because that's one of his main missions in our lives. He's the silent one, if you will, as far as outwardly speaking. But in our hearts, he's the one that every time we open the Word, he says, yep, you need to deal with that. You need to deal with that. And what we have a choice at that point. So the world, their attitude is, well, we'll make this easy. We'll just say there's no God. Follow that path. Well, if there's no God, well, now I'm not accountable to anybody. Evolution's true. Survival of the fittest. And if all that's true, then basically Hitler didn't do anything wrong. Because who defines right and wrong? Man does. But if as soon as you acknowledge, oh, wait a minute, I look around at all this creation, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. As soon as you acknowledge that there's a Creator, now you have to acknowledge that you're accountable to him. And you'll probably have to answer to him someday in some sort of a judgment. So now you need to figure out, how does that happen? How do I prepare myself to meet my Creator? How can I be ready for this accountability? And then we understand sin, the consequences of sin, and Jesus Christ, and it all comes together. But then after we're saved, all that's behind us. We know there's a God, we love God, we worship God, we serve God. But then the devil still comes along and says, yep, you're a Christian and you love God and you're going to heaven. But just keep that little tiny thing a secret. And then the Holy Spirit keeps saying, no. And that's where the battle begins, and then we have a choice to make. So, who seeth us, they said. The answer, God. So why should we foolishly try to hide from God? Well, because men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And the old man hates the light. Because what does the light do? We saw there in John 3, the light shines and shows us our sin. And Praise God, He does that. That's part of the growing process, isn't it? That's how, if you look at your Christian life now and you look at your Christian life 10 years ago, if you've been saved longer than 10 years, hopefully you can show or see some growth, some maturity in your life. And a big part of that was the Holy Spirit step by step changing you from the inside out. With the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, your spiritual walk, everything, little by little, the Holy Spirit changes you. So be careful of this attitude, who seeth us. Let's pray.